heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, you can see as the reopening has started that it's going to be a rough ride ahead. It's not going to be just an easy turn the switch on and everything goes smoothly. It's going to be a rough ride. I'm going to suggest to you for probably the next 18 months. I think that's what it's going to take to get over this entire episode. As you can see, things are coming back online now. Restaurants are opening. Beaches are opening in some areas, that is. Other areas, not so much. A lot of conflict still, wearing your mask, social distancing, all of these things that Americans have had to learn while this pandemic has taken hold. Some are good at it, some are not so good at it, but it's become a little edgy, a little controversy. What I'm seeing in some of the communities, like for instance, they're opening the beaches and then people are forgetting that, well, you got to social distance or you got to kind of do your thing. And then the officials are seeing this and closing the beaches down again. It's happened in Naples, Florida, the last day or so. And it's happening throughout the East Coast where they're opening some, closing them again. And, of course, California, they've been having that problem right along. They open them, close them, and from county to county. And, of course, they're having a lot of troubles out there in California with Governor Newsom. People are hitting back. You see Elon Musk came out, and he's so ripping pissed. He says he's going to move his entire Tesla manufacturing plant and all of that. It's more than just a dealership, obviously, the business he does in California. But he's ripping pissed. He says he's going to move it all out of there. And because he's had some troubles with California as well. You know, we're really getting a chance to see here, you know, I think in a lot of ways, socialist policies that I think the far left have been bragging about for some time now, over the last many years. I think Americans are really starting to be able to see what this might look like. I mean, if there's a glimmer of a silver lining, potentially that's it. And sometimes you have to hit people in the gut, get them to pay attention, right? And maybe that's what it took here for them to understand what this was all about. But we're seeing a lot of these local municipalities, they're cracking down still. I think people are getting a little fed up. So a lot of these protests you've been seeing, I think you're going to see a lot more of those. And I think as people demand to have their freedoms back, their rights back, I think that's going to become more the norm. Part of the challenge is when we frequent these businesses, we sort of got to kind of play by their rules. If we're going to frequent the Costco, the Sam's, the restaurants, whatever it is, we are in their places of business, or the salon, the barber shop, that kind of thing. You know, they're asking you to wear the mask now. In fact, I seen the image of Ted Cruz getting his haircut in Texas, and with that salon owner there who got all the publicity. Her salon now in the future will be famous. You know, that Shelley lady, she absolutely famous, her salon now, because, you know, she was all over the national news for what had happened when she was put in jail for what she thought, trying to do the right thing for her employees and all, right? And so, you know, I seen that mask that Ted Cruz had on, and, you know, I wondered how they were going to cut the hair around the mask and all of that nonsense, you know? I mean, it's weird enough to have the mask on, but then to be cutting around it, I guess of course, then I started thinking, wow, we're all going to look strange. We'll be walking around town and our faces, our hair will all be cut up around the lines of the mask. We'll all have a new hairdo of some sort. Kind of might be a little weird. Of course, it depends where your hair comes, right? If you have sideburns or not. Some people have that. Some people don't. Oh, you just remove the mask. And then what's the purpose of the mask at that point, I guess? So I think the question is, at this point, that I'm wondering myself, is to mask or not to mask? Now, if you heard me on Viewpoint this past weekend, you probably know that I've not had a mask on yet. In fact, I don't think I've ever worn one in my life, quite frankly. I don't think I've ever had one on my face. And I'm hearing different stories from different people who say they feel suffocated in the air, or recirculation, I guess, into your own body is not going to be a good thing either, they say. I don't know all the science behind that, and that's not the point here today. I'm not suggesting I'm a scientist, people. But, you know, we're all starting to look a little silly, though, walking around with all these masks. We're thinking, I mean, let's face it, people, they don't look really cool. I mean, it almost looks like we're in a pandemic or something, you know. What the hell is going on, right? After all this time, it's like, what's happening, man? I don't like the look of this. Yeah, it's not really a cool look at all as we all do this, walk around with the mask. But then again, there is a safety issue on this, isn't it? Now, here's the next thing. I think people are confused. You had all this information initially come from the White House in March and coming into early April, you remember? Don't wear the mask. You don't need to wear the mask. Probably not safe to wear the mask. And so we all started thinking, okay, we don't really need the mask. But then things, and then you had that 2 week, we're going to, you know, lock everything down for 2 weeks, which became four, which became six, which became, you know, for some states and local communities, far more than that. Some of them just wanted to stay locked down and send everybody a check, which, of course, that's another story, too, because now you see Pelosi's coming out and others. And there are stories that I'm seeing now where they really are telling the Democrat states to stay locked down. So we have this feud going on basically in the country. It's why I said it's going to be another 18 months before we can really get over this thing. You know, and again, politics always plays into it, people. It always does. I mean, you know. But I think what's really happening is some people are really rebelling against the government, period. We're talking about big, bad government here. And if government says wear a mask, probably say, well, I don't want to wear a damn mask. I don't have to wear a mask. Who the hell are you to force me to wear a mask? Now maybe I feel my oats a little bit, right? And maybe I don't want to wear your mask at this point. You can't force me to wear the mask. But what if the mask is going to help protect somebody? Maybe it's somebody you know. Maybe it's somebody you love. Maybe it's somebody you don't know. Should you give a rat's ass about their life if you're walking through the local store? I mean, and somebody catches it, or maybe you haven't and you don't know it, because, again, we have this, you know, you're asymptomatic, you know. I mean, we've learned a lot about all of this now, you know. Some of us are carrying it, some of us, and we don't know we're carrying it. And that's the whole problem with this corona China virus thing. It's a weird disease. I mean, it's weird. It's not like you know you got the cold or got the flu or got the measles or got the chicken pox or got whatever the hell you got. It's not like you easily know that. You don't even know you got this thing. I mean, some people, it's like no more than a sniffle. Some people don't even get a sniffle. Like, they don't get nothing. You know, then they, and those who might even get that sniffle probably think it's like seasonal, you know, allergies or something. I know a lot of people were thinking that up front, too. Like, they just have the allergy problem or something like that, you know. So, well, here's what happened when we had this big conversation on Viewpoint anyways, okay, about the mask, and you might have heard it on Viewpoint this Sunday, and I think it was the segment with Susan Price and Ron Edwards, and we got into the whole mask thing, but it has been a common theme on a lot of the conversations, and they both kind of said they really weren't going to wear them, and I think we were all pretty united in that segment, thinking we don't really like the concept of this. Well, interestingly enough, I received a letter in from a listener who I'll tell you about a little bit here, who, well, it was well written and it got me thinking. In some ways, it kind of put me in my place a little bit, because this listener brought the human factor into it and in a very interesting way, and just want to say, hey, what about the other side of this? Now, listen. I'm always wanting to hear the other side of the debate or the conversation. I mean, that's what I love here. It's the diversity of conversation and the diversity of opinion is a beautiful thing. If you've learned nothing from me, you've learned that much. That's what I keep preaching to you, is what makes our country great, is the diversity of thoughts and opinion. Now, if we can only get all those social media gurus to learn that, huh? It's okay to disagree. In fact, it's a beautiful thing. It's what I pride ourselves on here in this country, you know, what it's all about. So that letter and that listener got me to think a little bit, because she has a loved one who is older who could be susceptible to getting this coronavirus. And people, we've had that whole conversation that those who are most at risk that have the underlying conditions, the various modalities, those people, some of those people are going to be cleared out of society. A lot of people are. I mean, you hear, I mean, this virus, this China, it's not a nice disease. I mean, it's killing people, basically, if you didn't know that. But it's killing the people that are not in the best of health in a lot of cases. But it's not just that either. It's also people who are older and maybe they are in good health. And listen, we just don't know all the factors in this thing. Let's be clear. I'm not suggesting to you I know it all because I don't. I mean, the Chinese don't even know it all and they created the damn virus, you know? I mean, nobody really knows everything about this disease at this point, this China virus, this COVID-19, the coronavirus. Nobody really knows all the details, and there's a lot more we have to learn about this. I mean, we know a lot more today than we did back in February, March, or January. And of course, we would have known a hell of a lot more if the Chinese were open or frank with us, or honest, or shared any part of the information with us. We would have known a hell of a lot more. It's going to come back to haunt China in the long run. We'll see that play out, people. You ain't seen the end of this one. I can tell you that right now. The ramifications of this disease and what's happened here in our country is not going to easily just go away. Again, when you look at the interruption of our lives over, I mean, we're going to lose a couple of years of our lives here of just total bullshit, you know, really a couple of years here. And then the mental damage it's done to all of us. I mean, and, you know, I also got thinking the other day, what about all the kids that are seeing all the masks? What do they think this is all about now? I mean, and there's a fear factor, the kids. And even if they're not admitting it, and a lot of kids don't admit it, quite frankly, they keep it internally. And there's a lot of damage there with the generation, the young people. I mean, a real lot of damage. And I've seen it with my own teenagers, and they don't say it really out there, but it's there. And you get the sense of that fear after a little bit. And then they start doing other strange things. And you wonder what that's all about. Well, this is all compliments of the China virus at this point. That's my point here, you see. And so we have this entire societal meltdown going on right now. And we're all looking a little weird, running around and walking around or trying to get to the damn beach with a mask on. And, of course, that's another strange phenomenon, having sunburn or tan with a mask line. With the mask and a line around our face, we're all going to look a little retarded there as well. I mean, how does that work out? You know, never mind the haircut, but what about the sun? How do we live this new life with a mask on? You know, a little bit after, I want to talk about that letter specifically, that where that listener opened my eyes a little bit to think, okay, let's look at this thing a little more practically. And she's going to actually join us when we get to that part of it. And she's actually going to join us on the show and talk about that letter she sent in and talk about what that other side is, why we might want to consider, or why, you know, I might even think to be not so damn selfish. Maybe you shouldn't be so damn selfish either. Maybe we should wear the damn mask. Just probably not why we're suntanning, that's all, you know. Or drinking coffee. I could think of that too. I haven't been at a restaurant in some time or out anywhere. And I don't really have a desire to be out there right now. You know, someone asked me the other day, a friend of mine, would you like to join me for a bite or catch up for a drink? I said, you know, I really don't want to. I said, why? You haven't been to something in a while. I said, you know what? I'm really not up for the bullshit. Okay. And they said, well, what do you mean? I just, people are stupid right now. They got the mask thing going on, the people, the stuff, and people are acting weird. I'd rather not be out there doing that. Thank you very much. Less problems and less, I'll just as soon put something on the Barbie or whatever. So to mask or not to mask? Well, as I say, at first it was don't mask. They needed the mask for the medical professionals and all of that. And then it changed. And it changed right around early April, that first week of April. That's when the Trump administration was working with the CDC and trying to determine should we wear these masks or not. And then the CDC finally did come to that decision. I think it was around April 3rd, actually, if I remember right. And the CDC, they said they urged Americans to use some sort of, and it didn't even have to be a mask at that point, but a face covering, you know, some sort of a cloth. And then women were wearing scarves and things like that. And of course, men would look a little weird running around with a colored scarf on your faces, I think. But we have bandanas. Maybe we could wear a bandana. But then it would look like we're robbing a bank or something, you know? I mean, that's not, and that's another thing I got to think of. We're all running around with masks on and bandanas. We can't really separate the good people from the bad people at that point, right? I mean, then we really don't know who's who anymore. That's another problem, isn't it? Then we may have a whole, you know, bunch of bank robbers going on and stuff like that, you know? So they said if you're going to the grocery store and then Costco and Sam's and, again, all the grocery stores, the pharmacies, things like this started. And then it was your option at first, and then it became mandatory. And if you were listening to Viewpoint on the weekend, you found out that, okay, some people were getting objectionable because they just wanted to go in and pick something up at the local store, and they were demanding you have to have a mask on, and the people didn't want to wear a mask. Well, you can't come into our establishment then. And they didn't like that. And then I got thinking more about, well, why is that? Why are we, and who's the mask protecting? There's a couple of issues here we need to talk about. Who's the mask protected? Is it protecting me or is it protecting the other people? Now, that's one thing we got to talk about, okay? Right? And do I frequent your business because you're demanding I have a mask on or not? Businesses, they kind of want your business because they badly need it. Everybody's been locked down for a couple of months now. But yet, where do they draw the line and how restrictive do they get? And then again, you've got the states mandating a lot of this. Local governments are absolutely mandating and saying, you will do this, you will do that, you will march in order. And that is exactly the problem. People don't want to listen to government. We've had it up to here in government. And when I say here, I mean my hand is up over my head right now, you see. We've had it up to here. And we don't want to listen to these people anymore. And there's a reason for that. And we've all become a bit cynical when it comes to government. I think, being back to the great equalizer, and it's not just the right or the conservatives who are getting cynical at government, but I got news for you people. The left is as well. Isn't it funny how something like this can equal the playing field a little bit? You know, all those nice people out in California are getting a rude awakening right now, aren't they now, with what that looks like. And, you know, a lot of them are not liking it. They're losing a lot of people out there and a lot more people. I told you about Elon Musk. There's a lot more that are looking to leave California as they continue to socialize it. It really is like a country unto itself out there. It's become just a socialized heaven with all kinds of illegal activities. I don't know where it all ends and how that permeates through the nation here, you know. So these masks, as you read more and more about the mask, first of all, the masks are supposed to protect, I think, the other people more so than you. Because here's the thing, and a lot of the reports I'm reading and looking at here, you know, when we're out in a public place, and part of the problem they're having is when people are letting their guard down, there's unintended consequences for the mask wearing as well. All right, so you wear the mask because we tend to spit when we talk, and those droplets get out there into the environment, and before they dissipate, I mean, they fall on stuff, you see, or people even, because we all do that. We spit when we talk, some people more than others. And then, it could be just as simple as breathing or talking. It doesn't have to be like you sneeze, because some people say when they sneeze like 10 feet across the room, because they did a whole study on that, and 6 feet social distancing wasn't enough. They said, well, no, you needed to, you know, I've seen a study that said we need to double that up and have 12 feet. So everybody 12 feet of social distancing. And at that point, I say, well, why the hell stop at 12 feet? Why don't we just go a mile and a half between the people? And we'll just be, oh, why don't we just all take a town and we'll isolate everybody? You know, maybe that's another approach, right? So we don't sneeze on you or talk, or you don't feel my spit when I talk. I tell you to shut the hell up, right? But that's kind of what's happening now. So the spit from our mouths and the or the sneeze or the cough or the talk or all of this and all of this. And that's the problem with this COVID business, people, is that it's highly infectious. I mean, and the other problem is it gets on something and doesn't just dissipate. You know, remember we were talking about that incessantly in January and February when this thing surfaced. And, oh, my God, even getting a piece of mail in. I know we got boxes in and we put the box on the side. I mean, I remember getting a case of wine in and I wanted to open up the wine, but, you know, so I could get drunk. But, you know, I didn't want to catch the COVID disease. So I put the box over there for the environment to, like, do its thing. And they say leave it over there for a day or so. And so you just couldn't get drunk for the day and a half or so as the box sort of, you know, went through its phase, you see, of whatever it was going to do. Because that, you know, the virus could be on the box, it could be on the paper, it could be on something inside the box because the packer had the COVID disease. And then is it on the food? And is it on, and oh my God, and now we're really worried and we're panicked. You see, with all this, and all these decisions, and the box is there, can't drink the wine and have to worry about that later. And you know, so this is all part of the complications, people, of the mask wearing and what's happened with society and this China virus business. Well, listen, let me talk to you about these unintended consequences. So Fast Company had a very interesting article here. Let me read this to you. The science is certain at this point, wearing a mask can help reduce the likelihood of being infected with COVID-19. And of course, in Fast Company or any of these publications, they're never going to call it the China virus. You know that. It's going to be COVID-19. We don't want to insult anybody here now. But masks alone are far from perfect, they say here. Over the past 2 weeks, as masks have gone from optional to mandatory in many states, I've noticed a shift in behavior. I've seen people wearing masks at small get-togethers and people wearing masks in stores, all without observing the 6 feet of social distancing recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. What did I say to you? There's the unintended consequences, you see. Well, at least they were still wearing the mask, they said, but still they were wondering, could masks be creating these unintended consequences because we've let our guard down? Well, at that beach I was telling you about moments ago in Naples, that's what happened. People let their guard down. They opened up the beach got full, people were socializing, drinking, having a great time, doing what they do on the beach, and the officials noticed it. And like the county, you know, the guru, county commissioners of whatever, you know, noticed this, the little bureaucrats that run around like the police, the Orwell police, we'll call them, run around and, oh, who's doing that wrong? And they find the people on the beach. They say, okay, we're going to fix your ass. We'll close that beach down again. Of course, the people down there are not happy. But the people of California are not happy. The people throughout the land are not happy, people, because they don't want to be told what to do. So here's the crux of this. I mean, listen, the more and more I think about all of this, we wouldn't be so unsettled. Potentially, we might listen to something government would have to say if they hadn't screwed us over so badly, you see. I think what's happened is a lot of people have turned that dial off. They don't really, in fact, I'm positive of it because everything I see out there and every study I've read and everything I've looked at the psychology and of people, they simply don't trust big government. And they don't trust the bureaucrats or the local ones either, the mayors, the governors. People are cynical when it comes to government. You know, I put a tweet out the other day. I said, many Americans are questioning the motives behind the lockdown. Some are even calling it the Plandemic 2020. In fact, you're seeing that as a hashtag, Plandemic. So it was not the pandemic, but Plandemic. So meaning that it was planned. Well, so, I mean, I didn't say what my opinion was, but I put calling it the Plandemic 2020, that Americans are actually doing that. Yeah, and then I listed a few things to remind people of where the distrust has been. Russia collusion, obstruction of justice, the 25th Amendment. You know, he's crazy, you know. Aren't we all a little crazy these days, huh? The Ukraine phone call, the House impeachment, the Plandemic. with a capsule of why the mad rush to get Trump out of office, you know. It gets a little swampy at this point, people, because that becomes a whole nother conversation, which we're not going to get into today. But there's a whole nother conversation on there about the plandemic and Obamagate and why getting Trump out of office. And you know where I'm going. We'll connect those dots in the days ahead. I got a lot more to share with you here. But you know that blog, the 538 blog? It's a pretty famous blog. Well, just a few months ago, in fact, just before we got into this whole pandemic, plandemic business here, they had a blog on their website. So this was before pandemic. Of course, it was already in China. We just didn't know about it yet. So let me be clear. So this was in December, late December, they ran this blog. And it said, in American politics, everyone's a cynic. Yeah, well, everybody is cynical and few people are changing their minds. That's the takeaway from the House's impeachment hearings. Well, if you think all politicians are crooked do-nothings, you might care less what they do. But half a century of research and an even longer slide into pessimism among the American electorate suggest that any cynicism following the impeachment hearing isn't likely to make voters stay home in 2020. So they're suggesting people will get out and react in some way. Well, that was the old theory born in the post-Watergate days, they said, when trust in politics was as low and heavy as a funk baseline, right? And this was a gentleman, Jack Citrin, professor of political science at the University of California, Berkeley. But it never bore out, he said. Instead, other experts say cynicism actually seems to be a political motivator, increasing both activism and voter turnout. Isn't that interesting? So the more people distrust government is what I'm suggesting to you. This is me talking, not the article now, is that the more they want to respond and punch government in the gut, you know, right? Or, boom, take that, you sucker. And you're seeing a lot of that out there all over the place in the land of the free and the home of the brave. People are getting upset. And, you know, we hear a lot about, well, maybe we're headed for another civil war. Right? That kind of stuff. Yeah, we're kind of already in one, a verbal one at least. Yeah. And of course, I talk about our division all the time. We're supposed to be divided. That's the way America is. We're supposed to kind of hate each other. It's what the framers set this up to be. And it's not really a surprise. We're supposed to beat each other up and then come together for a drink at the end of the day, maybe, if we can. Something like that. Yeah. Well, the American National Election Studies survey has tracked American opinion since 1958, people. It includes a trust index combining the results of four specific questions about voters' perceptions of government and politicians into a single score. Now, get a load of this. The average trust score in 2016 was 17. The lowest ever recorded. So we've been on this trajectory into the basement of believing these cats for some time now. And I'll give you an example here that, you know, back in 1966, that average score was a 61. And it was even higher than that. It was back just a half a century ago, 77% of us had high hopes for our elected officials. And these are, Pew Research follows these numbers all the time. So we've gone from in the 60s and a high of 77% that we trust our elected officials to do the right job. We vote them into office to as low as what it is right now. And it runs between, even now it's 11, 12% to that 17 back in 2016. And I've seen it drop in the low single digits, 8, 9%. So the point is, we just don't trust government anymore, people. I mean, and the real equalizer of this whole, you know, business of the plandemic or pandemic, whatever you want to call it, the China virus, we'll call it for our own entertainment here, okay? I mean, I think this is going to come back to the great equalizer, because if you needed something to wake the left up, and I don't know that you'll ever wake the far left up, because these people have a brain deficiency. I mean, they don't have the IQ or the intellect to figure a lot of this shit out, basically, okay? But I'm talking about your middle ground, your moderates, your left of center, the blue dogs, all of those people. Those are the people we need to win elections with, right? And those are the people we're most concerned with. And those are the people we need to be rallying around here. And those are the people who, as I mentioned, these numbers here, they're ripping piss. They don't believe in government anymore, you see? They're not going to have it anymore. It's interesting as you look over the last 50 years what's happened in America, people. And there's a point to all this where this is, we're becoming unglued now. And so back to where you say, you know, you can't go on the beach. We've locked the beach down. Well, shut the hell up, you county commissioner. Who are you to tell me? Well, you hired me. You voted for me. You put me in office. Well, I don't want to follow you. And this is where now the rubber begins to meet the road. Does the left sit home and do nothing now? Do those middle of the road people, do they care anymore to get involved? And do they get outraged at some point? Well, you're seeing that outrage now. You're seeing that happen. And you're seeing this is where you could have the great uniter, the great divider of the plandemic and pandemic could eventually be the great uniter. Isn't that an interesting way to look at it, people? Could this actually unite the people? I think in a very weird, odd sort of way, it might. I think most Americans want their liberty. And certainly, I think everybody in that middle row wants their liberty, and certainly the right does, and some of the left does, and of course, some of the left, they want socialism so bad that they're just dying to make this Amerizuela. I mean, these people can't get enough of that stuff. But these people, again, have a mental deficiency, and we don't need to, we should not have them vote at all if we could help it, but that doesn't really work that way, does it? But I want to get back to the mask thing that we started this conversation with, because as I weave this path here for you, here's the deal here. You know, to mask or not to mask? That is the question, right?
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The letter I received in was entitled Damask in America. And let me read this segment to you that I want to introduce and bring on Sally Fernandez and tell you about her. So Sally says here, I recently listened to a favorite show the other day, and the topic of discussion was about wearing face masks. Well, the consensus was that it was unwarranted, unhealthy, and unnecessary, which is what I was telling you people a moment ago here. I mean, that really was what came out of that. We kind of made fun of it because we don't believe them, number one. You know, we're questioning everything, number two, right? Come on. So the participating co-host, these were the guests I think she's speaking of here, because I'm the one in control, people. I'm the host. So the participating people seem to speak particularly to their individual rights. Well, they also shared a frustration at the glances and visual scorns they received when not wearing a mask in public areas. And listen, and I get that. I understand what that means. And that was Ron Edwards who said that. I totally get Ron's position because he's kind of, I get it. He's a conservative. I mean, these were conservative speaking, and we're not going to lie down for anybody. We want our damn rights back, and we want to do our thing. So anyways, back to this letter. Sally says, the next day, I read an article about a birthday party in Pasadena, California, during the shelter-at-home orders. Well, a large group of extended family members and close friends got together for a celebration. Well, they did not social distance, just like I was telling you folks a moment ago, back at the beach. They weren't social distancing, back to that 6 feet or 12 feet, as some said, right? They didn't wear a mask. Five partygoers tested positive, and through contact tracing there, officials discovered many more in attendance had become ill. So a lot of these people at the party had become ill, had become sick, that sort of thing. And Sally went on to weave quite the story in this letter. And so let me tell you about Sally, who joins me now on the program. Well, she's a great author is what she is, a very successful author. She's an award-winning author of the Max Ford series. And her latest novel is The Beekeeper's Secret. It takes on Big Pharma and the FDA. God, that is a good thing to take on, people. Her prior novel, you might have even heard me talk about it one time or another. And although Sally's a listener, she's, I said, a famous author, and her books are in the America Out Loud bookstore. I'll tell you about that in a moment here. But her other novel before that is called Climatized, and it gets into the whole climate change, global warming thing, you know. And that's being made into a major motion picture right now, which I am so looking forward to. You'll be hearing more about this from us for sure, because we're her biggest fan here. And this will be released in 2022. Now, she's working on a new book now, The Infiltrator's Shadow. And this time she's taken on the whole enchilada, she says, the deep state, the one world government, and everything in between. Well, good golly, I'm sure China will be part of that conversation then. Sally Fernandez. So, demask in America. So, let's start there at the top. So, you hear the show, you hear the conversation on Viewpoint, and I think we were engaged with Ron and Susan and talking about the mask. And then you felt moved, and you said a lot more in that letter. You said to me, and the one thing about you, whether you talk or whether you write, you're always a lady. You're never not a lady. So you are always reminding me that we can be ladies and gentlemen and tell you what bus stop to get off. Right, Sally?
In a most dignified way.
And you did that well. And that's when I read that letter, I said to myself, I think she's telling me off right now. I can't believe this. But very in a very pleasant sort of way. So let me turn it over to you. Sally, when you really heard that as a listener, what did come to your mind, please?
Well, you know, I think, Malcolm, it was basically what you read, that it was the consensus I walked away with, that they felt it, the mask was unwarranted, unhealthy, unnecessary. You know, just on a side, the visual of it being unhealthy, breathing in your own carbon dioxide, I was kind of thinking of people who hyperventilate and wondering whether we're wearing our masks now so we'll become calmer breathing our own air. That was kind of just a side. You mentioned society, and that was my takeaway. I went back to say, okay, you know, we're all in this together. We are a society, and people are protesting as they have the right to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to go back and look at the textbook definition of what a society is. And I read a group of individuals involved in persistent social interaction, or a large social group sharing the same spatial territory, the same political authority. And two things caught my attention, certainly based on what we're going through right now, large social group sharing and political authority. Oliver Wendell Holmes popped into mind when he famously said that no speech safeguard would cover someone falsely shouting fire in a theater and causing panic. And that made me think about the fact that as a free society, we must consider, you know, our language, but equally important, our actions and bringing harm to others. And so that led right into the whole conversation about whether we should wear face masks or not. So one thing that gave me pause as I watch all these protests which is, you know, an act of one of our most treasured freedoms. And I think it's people have a right to be out there. Citizens are angry. They want to get their businesses reopened. They want their jobs back. But there were large crowds of people that were not social distancing. They were not wearing face masks.
While they were protesting, you mean, right?
Exactly. Kind of working against ourselves. We want to open the country, yet we're doing kind of dangerous things that we could have a relapse. I mean, the last thing we need is another wave because people aren't behaving.
So I question myself then, why are people doing what you describe right now? Because that's why they're opening and closing things down. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that over the next many months. You're going to see some things open, Sally, some things are going to close, something, and it's going to be kind of that sort of a thing. Because it's going to be a while before we get through this whole thing. But then I ask myself, why is that happening? Why are people doing that? Do you think people are doing it because they're A, ignorant to the facts, or are they doing it because they don't give a damn? Which is it?
Well, I think you have to kind of step it back to the government. The federal government has given, through guidelines, rights to states to impose their own, to open up under their own way. So some governors, I think, I mean, we can look at Michigan and they're not doing it and the backlash they're getting. Then you wonder whether states like Georgia and South Carolina did it too soon. So you have to rely on each individual state. But, you know, people cross borders and...
That's exactly it. And by the way, Michigan, those Michigan residents there, Sally, have gotten a really good taste of socialism out there because Governor Whitmer, I don't think she'd win dog control at this point. I mean, she is not well-liked out there because she has taken everybody's freedoms away. It is interesting how it makes the left really pay attention, doesn't it, Sally, in an interesting way, huh?
Well, you know, you mentioned how about this might be a uniter. Uh-huh. It's quite interesting that some of the things that the left have been espousing, they're now agreeing with the other side. It's kind of like they want their freedoms. They used to want to shut our freedoms down. Now, all of a sudden, they want the same freedoms back.
Well, you sort of did that a moment ago, too, by the way. I like what you just said when we were just talking about when you said, well, society, you describe society, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And you went to you were talking about that quote from Wendell and you but you were speaking about society. So you do something better for the collective whole. While you were talking, I started thinking about you were sounding like almost a leftist Democrat. Now, for listeners to understand, you happen to be a conservative just so they get. Is that correct? Am I right or wrong? Your politics, right?
I guess I just came out of the closet.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because you just described it for the collective good. And that really typically, and let's analyze that a little bit, please, because the left, that would be typically their narrative and has been their narrative. You do things for the collective good. That's collectivism. And you said that and you got my antenna to go up. I didn't miss what you said at all, but you were doing it from a different standpoint. And I want to dive into that next, because make this easier here. What we're talking about here, Sally, correct me, but we're talking about life and death, right? Life and death. Now, death is a very permanent thing. It takes you out of this life. That's it. It's over. And whatever your faith is, it will determine what happens next, I guess. But that's not today's conversation. But here's what I want to ask you. Why was this, I mean, tell us why this was so personal to you, because you're, as you say, and you said in the letter, I mean, you were concerned in your own particular case because your husband is much older than you and you're concerned for, am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. I mean, you mentioned the collective good. There is a collective good, which is the part of the left, the socialist mantra.
Right.
But there is a collective good in terms of society and being responsible and individual responsibility, which is not part of that whole socialistic aspect. So in my situation with my husband, you know, if I come down with a cold or the flu, we all kind of feel those symptoms coming on. And I say, oh, sweetie, don't kiss me. Don't get in my face. I don't want to make you sick. But if I contact this invisible monster with no warning signs whatsoever, then I could infect the ones I love. And you mentioned even infect people I don't know. And I may be asymptomatic and I may have this horrible flu, like supposedly Chris Cuomo got. But if I unknowingly infect my husband, it could be absolutely devastating.
Well, and let me ask you something about that, because, you know, your husband, again, so listeners know, is how old?
He's 92.
Okay, oh. So 92, probably going on what, 65?
He would say 50.
Okay, so I didn't want to insult him. Okay, got it. So for listeners to know, what I'm suggesting and what I want to ask you is this. Now, he's very healthy. He's active. He walks, he exercises, he does things. Right. So he's not the typical 92-year-old. Let's put that out there a moment. But, you know, but quite honestly, we have multiples of people involved in our own platform here. I'll give you an example. George McClellan is in his early 80s, and George is a brilliant mind and very healthy, takes care of himself. Dr. Jay Lair, same thing, early 80s. The guys, you know, as people know, they hear him on the shows here, absolutely brilliant mind, very healthy. So my point is, I've been talking to people a lot about their lifestyle and their health plays into this. When it comes to the conditions of COVID-19, the great equalizer that it is, but then it's not really an equalizer when it goes after those who are sickly. If they got diabetes, they got high blood pressure, they got problems, what cancer, other, whatever it might be, those people are most susceptible to succumb to this. Also, they say the elderly, but what if the elderly is healthy versus unhealthy? How does that play in? Do you know?
I think it has to do with age and capacity. My husband had a choking incident several years ago, which caused pneumonia in both lungs. And everybody knows pneumonia is kind of like the death sentence for elderly people. And it doesn't have to be because they have any other underlying issues. It's just the lung capacity, and it's an age-related issue. So he is incredibly healthy. He has no underlying illnesses.
So why take the chances, what you're saying? You don't take a chance, right?
I wear my mask simply because it's not worth it. I don't want to run the risk of getting it and giving it.
Now, do you wear your mask around the house?
No, I wear it when I go out in public areas.
Got it. So in that case, you're doing it to protect other people or yourself?
If I were to have it, it would be to protect other people. Mm-hmm. In my situation, I don't want to get it and be one to infect other people.
Well, the studies have proven that wearing the mask does not really protect you from getting it, because the disease itself is just, it's highly contagious. You can pick it off of a piece of paper or an inanimate object or something else or whatever, right?
But remember all the other steps. Wash your hands all the
exactly.
time. Don't touch your face.
Exactly.
I mean, this is just one aspect of it. And, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, we're pretty much, you know, restaurants weren't open. People weren't going that many places. So if you go to the store, you put on the mask. You go to the doctor's office, you put on the mask. It's not like it's on your face all the time. My husband goes for a walk every morning. He doesn't wear a mask, but he's out there in the fresh air and he's not next to anybody.
You know, we talked about that too, if you remember, on Viewpoint, Sally, because it was brought up, people are wearing them when they're jogging and walking. Isn't that crazy?
But that gets a little crazy. I mean, if they're with a group of people, which they shouldn't be with anyway.
I guess, if that's your theory, but why bother with that if you're that worried, right?
You know, it's like everything, Malcolm. It comes down to just common sense. You know, a lot of the conversation, and I think a lot of the angst that came from the people on your show came to me that it was more a takeaway that because somebody's telling me to do it, therefore I don't want to do it. And it goes into that whole trust thing you were talking a minute ago. And I know that, Pence and Trump and a lot of people have used Sweden as an example.
Exactly.
And how they have not closed down anything and so forth and so on. And the Swedish ambassador was interviewed on a show about a week ago. And they said, how is it working in Sweden when you're not really closing anything down? And she said, because we trust the people and the people trust the government.
Hmm. There you go. I didn't even know that. I didn't hear that interview. I don't know anything about it. But But you're saying there they have the trust, and so it worked, right?
Right. And we're obviously a different country. Our makeup is different. Mm-hmm. But there is kind of this, like, if the government tells me to do it, I'm not going to do it. It's almost like your mother tells you, you know.
That was my point in the monologue. You just hit it right there. If your mom, you keep being told and told. But you see, the problem, Sally, is most people, Americans, feel the government has been lying to them. They feel officials have been lying to them. And people in authority have been lying to them. And now those same people, they're asking for them to go along and get along, and here's why you should do this. And I think Americans just don't believe and don't trust these people anymore.
Melka, I'm not sure who I trust, what I trust. I write about this stuff. You know, I write conspiracy theories about what the government is or isn't doing, getting people to think about what's real and what's not real. So, I mean, I'm right in the heart of all of this. But at the end of the day, I don't know what this COVID-19, what it's going to do, what it's not going to do. I just don't want to take the risk.
There's a lot of unknowns. But let's face it. I think if you ask most listeners, though, if your spouse was much older than you were and you wanted to protect them, you love them, you would do whatever you had to do to take the extra precautions. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is getting the rest of society to understand that. And then you come back to the washing hands, social distance, and all of that. Yeah, it gets interesting.
But if you knew you had it, if you knew you had this virus, would you wear a mask?
Oh, the answer has to be 100% yes.
Okay, then the question would be, if you don't know you have it and you have it.
You're asymptomatic, you're saying.
That's the problem, is that.
That's what I said. This disease is so unknown, what we don't know about this thing, Sally. Like I said, I had to put that case of wine on the side. I couldn't drink it for a day and a half, Sally. I couldn't even get drunk when I wanted to, for God's sakes, you know?
We had wine delivered to the house, and I said, Joe, don't touch it. Just let it sit there for a couple of days, because it says it takes like 24 hours or 48 hours in cardboard. And it's like, we don't really need it. What's the point? I mean, it really comes back to common sense. If you don't need it, if it's not important, then why do it just to, you know, or fight against it?
Yeah. I mean, I want to ask you a question here about Sweden. You brought up a good point about Sweden. There's been a lot of talk about this lockdown being overkill. And back to a lot of people who have no trust in government at all. We are very cynical of what they do and not do. And like you said a moment ago here, most people would agree with you. We simply don't know who to trust. You know, that's it. I mean, bottom line. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I've pointed out many of them on the program here. Would the other scenario of this, like, crazy thing we've done here in locking down society, I mean, things got really weird in America here, as I've been speaking about. You couldn't go to the park. You couldn't do simple things. You couldn't even go out. I mean, these towns, and I mean, they really wanted people to stay in their locked doors and walls. And I don't know, do what? I mean, as domestic violence was rising and people were drinking and getting drunk, and I mean, what the hell do you expect? I mean, to ask 330 approximately million people to stay in their homes was a little insane. Was this ever going to work? And what if we had taken the road of Sweden and we had said, okay, let's quarantine the people who are most at risk, the people who have those high-risk modalities, the elderly, other, quarantine those folks, but the rest of people stay working and stay out there. Would that have worked, Sally?
I don't know. And I'm not defending actions, but this clearly is unprecedented. I know that... the government just moved in, and I know Trump was listening to the scientists, and it was kind of coming up with a one fits all kind of scenario. And I do think that, God forbid this should ever happen again, we should be a lot more reasonable in terms of looking at states, let individual states. If you have one case and 30,000 people, then I wouldn't shut down the entire town. So you really need to, I mean, they just made a huge mistake, except I would have shut, I don't know, I almost want to say I would shut New York down because that was such a hotbed. San Francisco had terrible problems because of the homeless and the threat that would have. So there are different locations, but there certainly are a number of cities, counties, and even states that probably could have followed Sweden's rules.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, what we've done is so extreme. by locking everything down. And you got to remember the problems of depression and suicides, but also the loss economically. I mean, there are people over these few months of this lockdown who, Sally, sadly will lose years of progress. You know that? Years. I mean, this has been horrible for so many. And so when you weigh it out, and then you take all that, Sally, and then you weigh it with life and death situations. Because again, we get one shot to get this right. And you get one shot not to infect the one you love. And that really is where the problem comes in, is that, you know, do you take that chance or not? And it gets tricky, people. That's all I'm saying, as Sally was just saying here. It gets very, very tricky. So in the case of what Sally was saying, well, she wants to protect naturally her husband, the one she loves, her spouse. Wouldn't you want to do that as well? And then some people would say, well, she needs to take those extra precautions. And then again, back to the whole thing. You know, I'll say to you this. I'm not so sure that President Trump would have taken the same path if he knew everything he knew then that he knows today. I'm not so sure he would have taken the same road forward. And I'll say another thing to you. There's going to be a lot more to be revealed about a lot more, including Fauci and Birx. And these organizations, the NIH and the CDC, in, you know, all of these, of course, we've talked about the World Health Organization and others, but there's going to be a lot more to talk about all that. And so there's a lot more to shake down. That's the bottom line, people, and to where this really goes. So again, to mask or not to mask, right? Well, listen, the books, Sally Fernandez, SallyFernandez.com, you can go to, but on the bookstore, if you go to AmericaOutloud.com, friends, on the navigation bar on the left side, you'll see it says the America Out Loud bookstore. Go to the bookstore and take a look around. And, you know, we have great guests and our experts on the platform here. And we built that bookstore so that you could easily find the best books in class, easy. Sally's books are on the bookstore there. You'll see her image up there, and you can get The Beekeeper's Secret and Climatage and all her great books. She's a fabulous author, as you see her vivid imagination as well. And she'll keep you entertained. And the way she combines these political thrillers, I guess, that, you know, that they're provocative as a novelist, and they're factual, but the storyline, well, it's a novelist storyline. But then again, friends, isn't this whole plandemic a novel? We didn't really live this, did we? I mean, this is all, it's just, it didn't really happen. I don't know if it did. Wake me up, Mom. I want to get off. Don't want to play this game anymore. Hey, friends, thanks for being on the mission today. It's time to get involved and get out.